Hey, it's Tony Bruschi. If you enjoy this podcast, Real Ghost Stories Online, be sure to check out our other paranormal podcast, The Grave Talks, with new episodes every Monday and Tuesday. Just search The Grave Talks wherever you download podcasts. Now, here's a 15-minute preview of one of this week's episodes of The Grave Talks. Today on The Grave Talks, Dark Side of the Dead, a conversation with Connie LeFave. At the age of 5, Connie LeFave had her first encounter with the paranormal. The experience would only be the beginning of a life that would lead her into helping those affected by the paranormal. From possessions to ghostly animals, Connie's had experiences that some would find hard to believe. However, these events are all too real. Today we hear her story on The Grave Talks.
You know, it's amazing that you say that because it is really true about most of us in the paranormal. We all have a starting place. We all have a starting point. And for me, it was at childhood. And I really didn't like pay attention to it that much until I was later. Mm-hmm. But I was 5 years old when it first happened to me. Mm-hmm. And people don't go looking for these things to happen. It just kind of happens to you.
Sure.
And that's what like gets you going. But I was living with my grandmother, my great grandmother. This was before I was adopted, and I was living in a very poor house. And so as I was growing up, I was sleeping with my sister and my grandmother in a really, really big bed in a room. Mm-hmm. So we all kind of just slept together and kind of huddled together on the bed. And the bed was up against the wall, and I would always sleep closest to the wall. And I have this thing where I used to lay on my stomach and stick my hand in between the wall and the bed. Mm-hmm. So like, that's the way I always slept. And I was doing that night. I was sleeping on my stomach and I woke up and I turned and I maneuvered my hand down in between the wall and the bed, like I always do. And I'm wide awake. And so it couldn't have been me daydreaming or just, you know, dreaming it up, but something grabbed me. And it was my hand that it grabbed my arm, my wrist area. Mm-hmm. And it was cold. And I was like, oh, this must be a joke. You know, I was only 5, though. But as a 5-year-old, you know, you scream, you don't think this is a joke. Mm-hmm. You think that later. At the time, I was just like, what? And it started tugging on my hand, and I could feel the fingernails. I mean, I could feel the details of this encounter, which is why it's so weird. Because normally you don't feel something like that. It was like a hand grabbing me, and it was cold.
Yeah.
And so it grabbed me and then it clutched on. And then I felt my head banging up against the wall as it was trying to pull me through. I was like screaming at the top of my lungs as something's trying to drag me through the wall. Mm-hmm. And it couldn't have been anybody under the bed because the bed was one of those box beds, you know, where it's filled up and there's nothing underneath.
Yeah.
This is back in, you know, 78, 76. Mm-hmm. And in Abilene, Texas is where I was at. And I was getting pulled through the stupid wall and I'm screaming bloody murder. And I finally break free from the grip. And it was such a hard break that I flipped over on top of my sister and my grandmother. It lasted for maybe a good 10 seconds. And, you know, they were waking up as I was screaming. Mm-hmm. But this thing had a hold of me the whole time as I'm trying to break free. And I was only 5. So like, you can imagine the trauma afterwards the rest of the night. I think I peed the bed that night.
Sure.
I'm pretty sure that I did not want to sleep on that side of the bed ever again.
Yeah.
Even to this day, I don't like sleeping on that side of the bed. I just have a thing about it. And so that's what got me in, you know, to thinking about the paranormal and realizing there was something there when maybe I didn't realize it or pay attention to it before. Mm-hmm. And nothing like that major happened to me again for a really, really long time. But I always had it in the back of my head that I wanted to find out what it was about.
Sure. I mean, what a traumatic thing. It wasn't just a quick, you know, oh, I feels like maybe something grabbed me. You had an experience where it's tugging at you. It's pulling you into the wall. I mean, it's the reason I don't have my arms hanging off the bed at night. It's because
I'm starting to think that maybe I shouldn't have been doing that in the first place now.
Yeah. I mean, it's one of those childhood things where, you know, some people are fine with it and some are not. Some are just, I'm going to err on the side of fear and not do that. That's what I would always do. But you actually,
that and the closet monster,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, but you actually had it happen. So after you break free and your family members are waking up,
how are they responding to you at that point in time? Obviously trying to calm you down, but how are they responding to what you're saying just occurred?
Well, obviously, they're going to tell you what everybody gets told when they're a kid and they think a monster's under the bed.
Mm-hmm.
Go back to sleep. It was just a nightmare. You know, you didn't see or feel anything. It didn't really happen to you. But I literally made them get up and check under the bed for me before I'd even leave and lay back down. And then I wouldn't lay back on that side of the bed.
Yeah.
But they tend to calm you, but at the same time reassure you that nothing really happened
mm-hmm.
when you know something clearly did.
Sure.
So I think that's a big downfall in the paranormal community is we tend to tell people, oh, that didn't really happen to you. You didn't really have that experience. You must be out of your mind without even investigating it or looking at it.
Mm-hmm.
So, but here we are as a parent family, and we're seeing the, you know, the other side.
So they were doing, you know, the typical, you know, parental and the thing of just let's calm down. This didn't happen. You know, you're imagining it. It was a dream, this or that. Did as time progressed, is that the stance that they stuck with, or was there any other things that occurred in that house? Because that seems like quite a dramatic thing to have happen mm-hmm. with nothing else happening either. Were there other things?
Well, I was there for a very short time because I was put in foster care shortly after.
Okay.
So I didn't get to stay in that house, but I can tell you that the house did not feel easy
mm-hmm.
when I did live there. And, you know, I didn't have any more paranormal experiences like that,
mm-hmm.
but I did feel kind of an uneasy heaviness in the house
mm-hmm.
where I wasn't as comfortable before as I was then. I think a lot of things attach to you when you're at a weakened state, when you're stressed out, when you're weak in your mind. And I think that's what had happened. I think we were at a state where we were at a weakened state and things tend to latch onto you when you're like that.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it never happened again at that location. And when I was adopted and put into foster care with my sister, you know, I never went back to that house.
Sure. Did your sister ever discuss that with you again, as far as that night and what occurred later?
Yes, we have discussed it, and she believes me because she's had things happen to her over her lifetime. Hers were later.
Okay.
And I don't know, maybe something followed us around for a while and latched onto her. But you know, we never talked about it that much afterwards, but it has come up in conversation. Like, I remember that time when this happened, and she was like, oh yeah, I remember that.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, is things like that went, you know, that pop up.
So how did life continue to progress for you? I know you said you got into foster care and then had an adoptive family. I mean, tell me what was life like then? Did you have other occurrences that happened within childhood?
Well, I'll be honest with you. I was struggling so much, even in my adopted family, just mm-hmm. trying to fit in and do what I was supposed to do
mm-hmm.
that I think those types of things I kind of ignored.
Okay.
Mostly in my life. Like I might have seen something out of the corner of my eye or heard something, but I just wrote it off to being illogical. I never really put the pieces together until later, you know, when I became an adult and I started seeking these things out, literally because I wanted to find answers.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and it never really latched onto me like that afterwards. So, but I have had experiences all throughout my life where I've encountered these things, and I just, sometimes I don't know how to react.
Mm-hmm.
And then sometimes I'm so drawn into it that I just have to find out more.
Sure.
And I think my childhood up to now, I had this like religious journey,
mm-hmm.
And it's just morphed over time. But in the end, I just ended up being, you know, a Protestant non-denominational Christian, but I still want the answers.
Sure.
And so that's what's led me to seek out the paranormal and learn about it. And then in the meantime, we're still having, you know, my husband and I, when we got married, we were already ghost hunting
mm-hmm.
and then we joined a team called After Dark, and we were there for a while and we had experiences there. And then we joined a TAPS family team in San Antonio, stayed on that team for a while, moved to South Texas, and then started the Graveyard Shift Paranormal Investigations. When we were down in South Texas, we did a lot of exploration for probably, you know, 10 years. We were down there 5 years, but we eventually moved, came to San Angelo, where I'm from, and continued our investigations here. So we
Mm-hmm. So tell me about how, obviously, you had that very, you know, traumatic experience at the age of five. And then you go through, you know, childhood and trying to find your way there and navigate all that is childhood under some difficult circumstances. As you got older, was there another moment then at some point, whether it be teen years, 20 years or something like that, where you said, you know, I do want to take a more serious look at this, because obviously that was part of your mind and it was part of your mindset mm-hmm. of being curious. But, you know, to take the leap from just I'm curious about this to I want to dive into that really for the first time, you know, as an adult with far more power than a 5-year old has.
Right.
You know, was there a moment where you decided to do that? Was there an event that occurred that kind of triggered that, or was it just kind of a decision?
And I'm going to be honest with you. I was a late bloomer. My experiences started much later in life. Mm-hmm. It's weird that I would have that big of a gap from childhood to now. I'm 50 now. Mm-hmm. And my journey began probably when I was about 36 okay. or so. So like I had that traumatic experience, and I was growing up knowing it was there.
Yeah.
And seeing my sister have things happen to her. I remember one day we were teenagers and she sat up in the middle of the bed and she was in a total comatose. She sat up and put her hands up. I thought she was maybe sleepwalking. Mm-hmm. And then I saw sparks flying from her fingers. I didn't know what was going on. And so like I've seen things like that in my teen years, and then they just go away mm-hmm. With no real explanation, and me not really wanting to explore it because of the place I was in.
Sure.
And it was only until I was in my 30s when I felt courageous enough to say, I want to find out what this is all about. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it wasn't until I started hunting with Dan and of course, Ghost Hunters on TV. Sure. I was like, oh, I want to do that too. I didn't know there was groups you could get into mm-hmm. to do these things. Then it really started happening for me. So many experiences, so many ghost stories from all over, just everywhere, up until being the owner of the Old Park Hotel.
So in your 30s, when you were about 36, you decided, I really want to dive into this. I'm in a place where I think I can do this. How did that begin? I mean, how did that journey start as far as investigating? I mean, how did you go from just being, I'm really curious, I've had these experiences, to let's dive in deeper?
Well, and I'm going to tell you, everybody has their experiences that make them take their journeys. Mm-hmm. For me, it was that one. And then there was this whole moving into religion thing.
Okay.
Because of my relationship, you know, with Christ or God, I wanted to explore what was there for me. Mm-hmm. So I was like, I can't ignore that there's not something there. Mm-hmm. I mean, how long can you go in your life and not realize that there's something right there all the time, and you just haven't taken the time to understand it?
Hope you enjoyed this 15-minute preview of one of this week's two brand new episodes of The Grave Talks. To hear the rest and get new episodes every Monday and Tuesday right in your podcast feed, search The Grave Talks wherever you download podcasts and press subscribe or visit thegravetalks.com.